Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'm just going to be working on, finishing up this game, doing a good job evaluating that, our after-action report like we always do, and then I'll be working into San Francisco. And again, I'm confident that I'll be working onto San Francisco and getting ready for that game.
You sure about that? You sure about that? Significant changes for the Chicago Bears. For the first time in franchise history, they have made a move to fire their head coach during the season. Matt Eberflus now officially out the Chicago Bears.
You crazy son of a bitch, you're dead.
It was a good call by the whoever this coordinator was. That would be me.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well done, Tyler Buterbaugh. And yes, good afternoon, Chicago and Bears fans. We are glad to be here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Mike Esposito with you. I'm here till 5. We are here to talk to you, Bears fans, at 312-644-6767, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We want to get your reaction and your comments, your thoughts on the future of the Chicago Bears. Who's next for the Bears? How did you process this news yesterday? I think like a lot of you, and like Tyler's open, combining White Sox and Bears, I love it. We had the why is Eberflus meeting the media? I guess he is coaching till the end of the season. Followed like 2 hours, not even 2 hours later, by the announcement that we all got right around 11 o'clock yesterday that Eberflus had been let go. So the initial what are the Bears doing? Followed by, okay, at least they did what we hoped they would do. And now, what's next? 312-644-6767. You can text us as well. We are here until 5. We want to talk to you, our guests. We have guests and we have tape we want to play for you. At 3 o'clock from NFL Network, Adam Rank will join us. Also, the Sick Podcast Adam does. Adam is all things Bears on Twitter for NFL Network, so we will pick his brain and get his comments as to what we saw yesterday, what we saw Thursday, and we'll dive into that in a second, and where the Bears go forward. We'll also talk to a familiar voice to Chicago football fans. Former Bears QB Jim Miller will join us. He hosts on SiriusXM NFL currently. Jim will join us at 4:25. I would love, and I will love, picking his brain about the quarterback position in a circumstance like this, dealing with some of the coaching items that we have seen over the past 6 weeks. I mean, it's really the whole season, but the past 6 weeks, if you think about this and how ridiculous this has been since that bye week, remember how great we all felt after London, all of you? Remember how fun that was for those 2 weeks when we were talking about the playoffs? I remember it. Seems like it was like 4 seasons ago, but it wasn't. It was only 6 weeks ago. Since then, the Bears have obviously lost 6 in a row. So we'll have Adam Rank at 3, Jim Miller at 4:25. We are here until 5. We're going to bring back some Dave Wanstead from yesterday. Wani was on fire. We will get to that during the next hour. Also, some interesting sound from Sean McVay. And you're like, why are we bringing Rams coach Sean McVay sound out? Because he has experience and history with Thomas Brown. I found these comments to be very interesting, McVay, and what he had to say about Thomas Brown. Because right now, Thomas Brown, I'm not saying he has a leg up on anybody, but he certainly has a 5-week head start. And if the Bears, let's just say, just for fun, that the Bears go 3-2 or 4-1 in these 5 games, I know it's not realistic. Let's just say they do. You could very well be looking at the next coach of the Chicago Bears. And we want to get that sound going because, as I said, McVay, one of the most respected voices in coaching and also a guy with history with Thomas Brown. And before we get to our calls, and again, we're lining up, we want to take them, 312-644-6767. I had this one piece of sound that I sent to Tyler Buterbaugh, our producer. It's only like a minute. It's from the immediate postgame from Fox after the Bears lost to the Lions. It is from Hall of Fame coach Jimmy Johnson.
In 70 years of coaching at all three levels, I've never seen dysfunction that cost a team an opportunity to win the game. Wow. Obviously, he's got a rookie quarterback, and different teams do it different way. I handle clock management and timeouts. Sometimes the quarterback and the coach does it. Sometimes the coach has a coach in the box talking to him about clock management. But when Eberflus saw that they were off track and there was dysfunction, he should have called timeout. He says he wanted to communicate to the rookie quarterback, the throwing out route, stop the clock, then call the timeout.
They did not throw
that was never communicated.
The communication was off.
That regardless of what the chain of command was, Eberflus has the ability to say, call timeout.
Call timeout.
That was Jimmy Johnson. And you could tell he's got the old coaching genes fired up. He was pissed. He was pissed that a football game ended in such a poor manner. Not that he even cares if the Bears or Lions, but I'm sure he doesn't. Just at how sloppy that was. And after the second half that the Bears had offensively, and Caleb again making plays, putting them in a position only to be let down by the coaching. And I know, and listen, we'll take your opinion on this. But to me, yes, Caleb could have and will in the future know better. But in that time period, that is completely on the head coach. There's 32 seconds left after the sack. It's on you, Eberflus, and thankfully you have since been let go. But that is on you. Can't expect your rookie quarterback who's getting a play in a game situation to also then be responsible for bailing your butt out on clock management.
It was a good call by the whoever this coordinator was, and that would be me.
Oh, man. Is it funny yet? I don't know if it's funny yet, Tyler. I'm not sure. Anyway, we want to get your reaction and we want to get your thoughts. Who's next for the Bears? Who do you want to be next for the Bears? And what do you think about the entire process as the Bears still have 5 weeks left in this season? Let's go out to line one. It looks like Mark is up first here on 670 The Score. Mark, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously on the Eberflus situation, the guy was completely incompetent. He shouldn't have been here this year, and I'm glad he's gone. I mean, it was a beyond parody at this point. Every week he made just an unbelievably stupid decision. But my bigger issue is, why would the Bears as an organization trot him out the next day to do a press conference as if he's still the coach and then fire him 45 minutes later? Like, what does that look like to other potential candidates that this organization is so dysfunctional? It's almost like they were trying to humiliate him on purpose. Why would anyone want to come in here and coach this team?
Mark, I don't get – listen, the explanation makes sense, but you don't – if you're Ryan Poles or if you're Kevin Warren, I'm not sure where this goes up through the chain of command. But apparently George McCaskey and Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles were meeting – during Eberflus's press conference. So rather than call attention to the fact that Eberflus was not doing a press conference, they let him go on. They were deciding to fire him in that meeting, apparently, but while they were doing that, they let him go on.
You got to postpone that. I mean, what is Ben Johnson or somebody is looking at this and saying, do I want to step into a situation like this? I wouldn't.
I'm with you, and thank you for the call. Literally, this was the explanation, and, you know, as we talk about this, and I'll share, you know, talking with my dad the other day, when you talk about a lifelong, long-suffering Bears fan, my dad is in his upper 70s. He's been around the block a few times. We were talking about the organization and how, excluding the 80s, when they had a confluence of things happen, including some excellent drafting, shocking how that works, that this franchise has been dysfunctional from the top down for his entire life. And it has been. And to our caller's point, if you're Ben Johnson, and we just saw him up close and personal with the Lions the other day as he's their offensive coordinator, he was a hot candidate last year. He'll be a hot candidate this year. He passed on head coaching opportunities last year, last go around, because he didn't want to land in the wrong situation. If you are Ben Johnson and the Bears try to hire you, why would you think this is the right situation? And maybe it's because Caleb Williams is here and maybe that does it for you. I don't know the answer to that. But if I am looking at history and all you have to look at is what's happened, I mean, good Lord, for the last four coaches they've had, it's just been bad. It's been a repeat of dysfunction and bad. And it coincides with the George McCaskey era. Ever since George took over, I'm not saying they're not spending money, I'm not saying any of that. The dysfunction since they fired Lovey and what the Bears have had to deal with, two playoff appearances, both immediate losses, including the double doink. Sorry, guys, I had to mention that. The other one you probably don't remember. You're like, what other playoff appearance did they make? During the 2020 COVID year, they made it as a wild card team and lost immediately to the Saints. That was the other playoff experience. And it was obviously not very good. Next up on the phones, Josh is in Joliet. He is up on the score. Hey, Josh.
Hi. This is my issue. Ryan Poles should have been let go, too. He's failed to put an offensive line on the field that can block. This is a big problem. He should have been let go also.
Well, they kept Poles. You could make case that Poles has made a lot of good decisions and a lot of bad decisions. And to your point, the offensive line, it's right here in the old yellow legal pad. It's high up on my list of reasons why this team did not fare well this year. I mean, the Waldron factor and the Flus factor and the clock management and the coaching and all this other stuff. There's a ton more, too. There is a ton more that has come out and that will come out about some of the coaching dysfunction. There's a nice piece in The Athletic. Diana Rossini and Adam Johns did that. It just came out an hour or two ago. I'm going to be referencing that as we go forward, but just a lot of stuff, red flags that were raised about Shane Waldron. I mean, we had it. Was it Jackson Smith and Jigba that, as he was informed live on the air that Shane Waldron had taken the Bears offensive coordinator job, you know, way back when, 6-8 months ago, whatever it was, basically said, in fact, I think literally said, good luck with that. And you could read about some of this dysfunction. We're going to also go through the Bears list of games too, because this team, think about this, they have lost 6 in a row. They're 4-8. This could easily, with the talent, and this is why I think Poles gets a reprieve, is that this could easily, with the talent on this roster, be a playoff team. With a good coaching staff, this is a playoff team. With a good coaching staff, this is a playoff team. We'll go over that a little bit later on in the show. Some of the losses you undoubtedly remember. But we'll go to those later on. Let's get up to Michigan. Next up, Coop is on the air here on The Score. Hey, Coop.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, so 30-year Lions fan, and I mean, how many years of these matchups that go back and forth and back and forth? The Bears are not a bad team. I mean, they've lost some very, very, very close games. And I don't understand with 32 seconds on the clock and one timeout and how this whole thing just unraveled. And, you know, I'm happy for the win. I don't think we played good enough, especially second half. Should have got it because the Bears figured out the Lions' offense second half, and their offense picked it up. And I think you've got talent. It's just this is a tough one. We've been through it.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that, Coop. And listen, the Bears, so this is what gets lost in all that, and this is why it is so frustrating. The Bears should have beat the Commanders. I'm going to go way back, and yes, I'm going to get back to the phones, but very quickly, the Bears should have beat the Commanders. The Hail Mary and the play before that, both plays end up costing them. The Tyreek Stevenson stuff, all of that. The Bears should have been 5-2. After that loss, you go into Arizona, you lay an egg, you come home against New England, and you lay another egg, and right there, you knew the season was gone. And yet, Caleb leads you to a rally against the Packers. You're set up to kick a field goal to win the game. And then you blow that. And you don't get it close enough. You don't run the extra play to get it closer for Santos. And you have it on the wrong hash. And talk about your special teams and how you line that up. The next week, again, against a really good defense of the Vikings, Caleb leads a comeback. And what happens? More heartache. This week against the Lions, you looked dead. That game could have been 28-0 at halftime.
These situations is the double doink on steroids.
It is. It's week after week of just Bears fans. Did you like last week? Here's some more this week. This week with the Lions, that game should have been over at halftime. Detroit couldn't punch it in. Instead, they're up 16-0 or whatever. I think it was 16-0.
Yeah.
The Bears come back. They hold the Lions to 7 points in the second half. More importantly, Caleb gets them going. Caleb should have several come-from-behind wins on his resume and be feeling really great about himself right now. And instead, the offensive coordinator got fired. The head coach got fired. You're 4-8, and you're dead as a team. That, my friends, is Bears football 2024. Sonny is in Plainfield. Sonny is up next on The Score. Hey, Sonny.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, you know, this firing was due. We all saw it coming, and now it comes on to the hiring process, which the Bears have rarely done well. And you talked a little bit about Ben Johnson. People talk about Cliff Kingsbury. I think they need, for this window, we have maybe a 4 to 6 year window with some really good young talent. Just like you said, we have a playoff caliber roster as it stands. I think they have to find a CEO, a proven commodity for your head coach, one who hires coordinators to do their jobs, but one who sets a standard of what the culture of a winning football team should be. And so I've got a short list. Two are kind of pipe dreams. I don't know that we can get Sean McVay from the Rams without a trade, which I can't see the Bears trading for a head coach.
Nope.
But should Kyle Shanahan get let go from the 49ers, he immediately goes to the top of the list. That could be an Andy Reid situation where, hey, his second team, he puts it all together and finds the winning formula. But one who is available right now who knows the gold standard of winning at two different organizations, with both Pittsburgh and New England, who over the last 30 years, I would say, are two of the gold standards of NFL franchises, that is Mike Vrabel. He is at home waiting for the Bears to call and change this organization's losing culture of the last 30 years.
Sonny, appreciate the call and some great points. And we will get to all of those as we go along here. I think the McVay thing is a non-starter. I don't see there's any way that happens. I also don't think John Lynch is going to fire Shanahan out in San Francisco as much as they may have underachieved this year. I know that is a very close partnership and they have had lots of success in the past. I would be right there with you. If the McCaskey family or the Bears have a team plane, I would have it sitting at SFO, San Francisco Airport, waiting for that firing. I don't think that happens. And I don't disagree with Vrabel in the extent that you want a leader of men, you want somebody that is the anti-Eberflus, basically, who is going to set a tone, who is going to, you know, lay down the law in terms of this is what we are as a football team and this is what we are as an organization. The question is, because then you go back to the old Lovie thing, because Lovie was that. And for the whole of Lovie's tenure here, they had no offense and no offensive coordinator. So then you're going to say, okay, who's the offensive coordinator for Caleb? Now, maybe it's Thomas Brown. I don't know. We're getting ahead of ourselves here. But we're going to revisit this later. We have to take a break. Adam Rank from NFL Network will join us next. He was out and about on Twitter all week with the Eberflus stuff. We'll talk to Adam and get his reaction. Plenty more of your calls. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller at 425. Dave Wanstead from yesterday was on fire. We'll get to some of that during the 4 o'clock hour as well. Mike Esposito here with you until 5. We are talking Bears on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The score.
What's going through your mind in those final 30 seconds? Do you think you guys were going to call a timeout to run another play?
Yeah. At the same time, we didn't. Had a call already on the field, so really wasn't a timeout going to be called once we got the call on the field. So it is what it is.
It's Esposito on 670 The Score.
Thank you, Russ Matera. Thank you, DJ Moore, after the game in the locker room. We are back here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Mike Esposito here with you until 5, and we are pleased to be joined by our next guest who joins us on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Adam Rank joins us from NFL Network. Adam also has the Sick podcast, and you can find him on Twitter, now called X, at Adam Rank. Adam, appreciate you jumping on. I was following along with your tweets, actually, yesterday morning before I even knew this show was going to happen and before I knew Eberflus was fired, because I agreed with your premise. Is like, wait a second. they're letting him do this press conference. This is worse than what happened yesterday. But then we quickly saw that they then fired him. But, I mean, your reaction to that was my reaction to that.
No, I thought, like, you know, once he was going on to the press conference and it seemed like he was going to be given an opportunity to continue to coach, which had that been the case, that to me would have been the worst. That would have been worse than what happened on Thursday, because we were at a point where you could never come back from that. You know, there's certain things, like, you would have made the case, I don't know, maybe after the New England game or something like that, where it's like, you know what, this enough is enough. We've got the divisional opponents coming up. We got to make a change. Let's see. Let's make a move right now. When they fired Shane Waldron, they also could have just fired, you know, Matt Eberflus at that time as well. When they fired Luke Getsy, maybe that's where they should have fired Matt Eberflus. But yeah, they really did need to do that. And I know that the timing of it was weird, and a lot of people were like, you're having an issue with this. Like, now you have a conscience. Like, now is when you throw it up. But I think, you know, it's funny. And I was telling people, you're in the business, I'm in the business. With those press conferences, I really honestly, like, my honest to goodness reaction was like, they probably have a sponsorship obligation. Like, I know if I know anything about TV or anything like that, like, you do not mess with the sponsors. They're like, hey, listen, Hyundai thinks that we need a press conference at 11 Central. Somebody's talking at 11 Central. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
The timing was unfortunate, but the right decision was finally made.
Yeah, and it's scary that it took this much. I mean, another incident of clock mismanagement, and going over the what-ifs will drive people crazy. I know it is doing that already for the Bears fans, but this team should be in playoff position, and instead, they are 4-8. They've lost 6 in a row, but talent-wise, forget about the coaching. Yeah. Obviously, we know the coaching has been a train wreck, but talent-wise, this could very easily, with a good coaching staff, be a playoff team.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, obviously, I go out there and I make predictions, and, you know, I had them as a playoff team, double-digit wins, and people were coming in during the offseason going, like, there's no way. Like, this team's not good. And I'm like, anybody who came in and said, like, I don't think the coaching's good, their coach is not great, and that was the right process. But for anybody to suggest that this roster was not good, that Caleb Williams was not put into a good position, is completely false. And even the people who are coming after him now, and they're like, well, the offensive line looks bad, the defensive line looks bad, they've also had some injuries. I know that the sack looked terrible, but that was Larry Borum. That wasn't Darnell Wright. Like, there's been injuries on the offensive line, and I know that every team has injuries and you overcome it. But at the same time, I thought that Caleb Williams going out there throwing 3 touchdowns against his Lions team in the second half, Lions looked fine to me. Everything seemed to be copacetic until that one fateful play. It's always the penultimate play. It's not the final play. It's always the penultimate right. play. Like against Washington and here against Detroit. So for me, like, I think that it just comes down to the coach not handling the situation. And when you're 3 years into this thing, we need to see some sort of positive progression, you know, as a coach. Like, last year, I remember, you know, telling myself that when this team found a way to rally for that winning field goal against Minnesota in one of the ugliest primetime games I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there it is. Like, we got it. We're doing it. Like, we're doing it. And, like, I don't know, looking back at my thoughts in that moment, like, I should have known better. I should have been more concerned than I was. And I think that, you know, there would have been a real justification to get rid of him at the end of last year. And I understand where Ryan Poles was coming from. You wanted to see this through. You put in there an evaluation of this guy a couple of years ago. Perhaps he did deserve another chance, but when the evidence is laid out in front of you, it's time to make a move. And rather, it's a couple of weeks too late, but they finally made the right decision.
We're talking to Adam Rank from NFL Network here on The Score. Adam, I agree with you. And you remember, I mean, he ended up saving his job after the 0-4 start last year. A lot of that due to the defensive resurgence. He started calling plays. They traded for Montez Sweat. They finished strong. So you could make the case, and maybe to your point, you're thinking as a fan or as somebody covering the team, okay, Eberflus is learning on the job. He's picking stuff up. He's getting better as a head coach. But But then you come into this year, and as we saw, and we've seen lots of stuff come out about the Waldron hiring, and some of the stuff goes back to even training camp, and people are like, wait a second, what is this guy doing, and who is this guy, and how is he running things here for the offense? I mean, that really raised red flags, and clearly nothing was done until it had to be done after the New England game.
Yeah. No, and that was a big issue. You know, when Thomas Brown took over, this felt like the hire that should have been made. And now we're starting to hear certain people like, you know, Shane Waldron was actually Matt Eberflus's guy, but they were still insistent on bringing in Thomas Brown to make sure that he had an opportunity. And so, again, this is, you know, you still want to enable your head coach to go out there and make his decisions. If you've gone through the process and you've decided that you're not going after Jim Harbaugh because you want to give Matt Eberflus another shot, then you still need to let him go out there and make his decisions. I mean, you can't hamstring him, because then that's not fair. Because if you don't trust him to go out there and make the right call at offensive coordinator, then how can you trust him to run the team? And at that point, if you don't trust his decision to bring in Shane Waldron, then that should have been the bowl. Then maybe we just don't trust you, and then maybe we clean house. So, again, like, I understand this theory behind all of this stuff. It has all gone woefully wrong. It could not have been worse. And you wonder, too, you know, like, had they escaped Washington, like, where would we be? Like, where would we be? And would we be in a situation where we were still sort of overinflating Matt Eberflus? Because, obviously, if we were in position for the playoffs, he's not losing his job. Who knows? And then we go into a situation like we had with Matt Nagy, where he goes to the playoffs and then he buys himself 4 extra years or 3 extra years or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that you look at. And I remember this because who was it? It was Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was walking around Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
I referenced this earlier, 100%.
Like, he was like, oh, good luck with that. That was the first time I'm like, oh, son of a gun. Even Seahawks fans coming out and being like, yeah, you don't really want him. I mean, it was similar to when the Raiders hired Luke Getsy. And I would go on Raiders radio shows, and I'd try to be positive. I'm like, hey, maybe it was the quarterback. Like, there were some things that he did that was okay, I guess. You know, romanticizing it a little bit more than it needed to be. But yeah, that was such a such baffling hires all the way around. And so now we're put into a position right now where we're going to give Thomas Brown his opportunity to get a look. And, you know, the Bears could be in a position where you hire, like, oh, you know what? We've seen it before with the interim head coaches where it doesn't always work out. I think there's been 3 times in NFL history where the interim coach has actually gone on to be pretty good, but they're pretty good examples. But yeah, we got a chance now. We're giving somebody an audition. Let's see what he can do. And I'm excited to see what Thomas Brown can put together over the next 5 games.
As am I, and I wanted to ask you about that because I saw your tweet on that as well. Yeah. And I've been encouraged by watching. I mean, certainly not the first half of that game, but the second half of the game. And that's the shame of it. And we'll get to Caleb in a second because I want to ask you about Caleb. But the shame of this 6-game losing streak is Caleb should have several come from behind, feel great about yourself wins under his belt, and instead they've lost 6 in a row.
You know, and it changes so much because, and I know if Sin Butts were candy and nuts, blah, blah, blah. So let's say they win that Washington game. That's a rally. Let's say they win the Packers game, the Vikings game, the Detroit game. Who's the rookie of the year at this point then?
Caleb.
Who would be? He would be running away with it. But he's not going to, and people are still, for whatever, I guess, well, people love to play fantasy football, so they'll love Jaden Daniels no matter what. But Bo Nix, to me, has been, at least for the last couple of weeks, has been the leader in the clubhouse for the Rookie of the Year because his team's winning. And I know that wins aren't necessarily a quarterback stat, which I actually don't kind of believe in, because it's like, if pitchers are, you know, saddled with wins and losses, despite the fact that most of them outside of Shohei Ohtani don't swing a baseball bat, then how is this any worse or anything like that? So I feel like that conversation gets to be vastly different. And but it will be fun. It will be fun to see what we can do with Thomas Brown. I feel like at halftime that Thomas Brown probably took over. I think Eberflus was out there doing his Eberflus things, and they finally just got it together. And honestly, like – Detroit's a good team. Like, they're actually a good team, and it's frustrating. This is one of the things, like, about Eberflus's defense, because it's so hard to comprehend, because as frustrating as that was on Thursday, and it's been for a couple of weeks, like, they still don't give up a ton of points. They're still in every game because they don't give up a lot of points. Outside of Minnesota, nobody's really put up a big number on the Bears. But at the same time, when you're allowing an opposing offense to drive the ball for 9 minutes, you do not give your offense a chance to go out there and get in a rhythm. Offense goes three and out, sits for 9 minutes. Three and out, sits for 7 minutes. Like, I love the bend but don't break, and it's great that you're not giving up points, but you've got to be able to get your defense off the field, and I think that's kind of hurting the offense. And then we saw in the second half when they started making some stops, Caleb was able to go out there in a rhythm and get stuff done, and he's the only quarterback in the NFL this season who has had multiple touchdown passes against that Lions defense.
Adam Rank is our guest from NFL Network. And Adam, I want to talk specifically about Caleb, because after some shakiness in some areas, certainly early on, and you know, we can talk about whether that's him or Waldron or a combination of both, but I've just loved watching him play of late, with, you know, with some exceptions, but really knowing that you have a guy who I think is the guy has been so refreshing to see, which is why all of this failure has made it that much more difficult to take.
It's been exasperating. And it's like the difference between this season and what we saw last year with CJ Stroud, celebrated because the Texans were winning all those games. They ended up backdooring their way into the AFC South. If people remember what transpired last season, Jacksonville collapsed at the end of the year. Yep. So I think that part of it for Caleb has been kind of a robbery. Like, he doesn't get to be celebrated, because people do. They look at wins and losses and they nitpick everything. Like, I know that people don't watch every game and they don't watch every throw and they do whatever. They play fantasy football and they look at Jaden Daniels and they say, like, oh, look, he threw for this. You're like, yeah, 85 of those came on one play, mm-hmm. on a busted play. Like, yep. That guy had like 87 passing yards with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And one of my co-hosts always like to say, like, well, these things did happen. And I'm like, yes, it did happen. He did end up with 200 and some odd passing yards. But you got to have a little bit of nuance when you're watching these things. Like, he's not playing well. He's not doing things well. And he's, you know, he was the beneficiary of Terry McLaurin busting open these plays. And so when you win, although Jaden hasn't won since they beat the Giants, he's lost three in a row, but whatever, this isn't about him. But Caleb doesn't get celebrated in that way, and people think he's a bust, and people will nitpick every little thing. Now, obviously, the throw that he missed at DJ Moore was a tough one. Like, that's a brutal miss. Like, mm-hmm. you want to connect on those. However, if you watch football, watch yesterday's games. You don't think Patrick Mahomes was missing throws all over the place. Travis Kelce was dropping, but watch a game. Like, you're nitpicking Caleb Williams and putting him to a level that no other player in the league is being held to right now. And so I feel like that part of it's unfortunate, because Caleb Williams is that dude. He is the quarterback that we've been waiting for, and that should be the story this year, not what's been happening with the coaching staff.
Adam, the good news for you is that I've been watching Bears football since Bob Avellini. So I know I am thankful. I am, you know, kissing the ground and everything else, thankful that we have Caleb Williams here in town. Before we let you go, and we really appreciate your time, I wanted to ask you, too, how much of this do you think the Eberflus, the entire coaching staff situation, and we touched on it a little bit, but what do you think this means, if anything, for Ryan Poles and even higher in the food chain to Kevin Warren? Does this touch them at all, or even a little bit? What do you think?
No, I think Kevin Warren is above it all. Like, he's above it all. Think about how long Ted Phillips was around. So I think that, like, Kevin Warren should feel pretty comfortable in his position. I think Ryan Poles gets a little bit of blowback. I know that I've heard the whispers. I mean, everybody knows the burner account for somebody out there who's been tweeting all the juicy information and all that stuff. Like, Ian Cunningham, I think, wanted to go after and get rid of Eberflus during the offseason, reportedly, allegedly. I think for Ryan Poles, what happens is he is fiercely loyal and dedicated to his decisions. We saw that during Hard Knocks when there was a kid he had no real attachment to, like crying about cutting him. The guy doesn't have a knee. Like you, it's okay. You can just, a guy gets cut. Like it happens. At some point you have to look at what's best for, I hope this is a good look. And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because I think he's done a really nice job. You've got to be in a position to, you have to make decisions that'll benefit your football team. And while it might be tough personally to sever these relationships, and even listen, I've spent time, I've talked to Matt Eberflus before. He's been really pleasant to me. But at some point you need to make decisions that are going to benefit this football team. Understand that everybody realizes that it's a business, you know, and this is the thing too, when people are like, oh, I feel bad talking about Eberflus, like Eberflus is, he's got a contract. He's going to be paid for at least another year, maybe two. He's going to end up somewhere. He's going to be like the defensive coordinator at San Diego State or San Jose State or whatever. He's going to be fine. But sometimes you have to make these decisions. And I hope this has been a learning experience for Ryan Poles that, yeah, you know what? Sometimes when you're thrust into a leadership position, you've got to make a tough call. And the sooner you make those tough calls, the better. And I hope that he's going to be the better for it.
30-second gut feeling answer, Adam, as we let you go. Does Brown become the next head coach of the Bears? And if not, who do you think does?
I'm a lunatic, so I'm going to pick the Bears to go 5-0 down the stretch and force them to hire him. I know that everybody loves Ben Johnson, and I've gotten in trouble for saying this, but it's like, you know what? Ben Johnson, he is doing so well because he's got the cover of Dan Campbell in front of him. And he's like, listen, Penny Sewell attempted a pass. Like, for everybody who was upset at the Doug Kramer play a couple of weeks ago, watch a Lions game. He does that all the time. You're going to be so frustrated when Braxton Jones is running the option next year, and you're going to be like, oh, why did we hire this guy? Like, yeah, I'm telling you, the Bear, and I don't think the Bears will do this, they need a leader of men. They need somebody like Mike Vrabel, and I need Mike Vrabel to go out there, and we hope that Brian Daboll gets fired. I don't want him to lose his job, but if that means he's the offensive coordinator for the Bears, I would love it. I would like some combination of that. That's not my conjecture. That's what I want. That's my wish casting. Vrabel, alpha male, accountability, keeping these guys. We have the talent. And I'm saying we have the talent. Yep. Keep these guys in order. That's the kind of leadership the Bears are lacking right now.
All right, Adam, great stuff. We appreciate it. And look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Esposito. Great talking to you.
Thanks.
And I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Rank from NFL Network. You can hear him there. You can hear him on the Sick podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam Rank. And I'm with it. I agree with a lot of what he has to say, not because he was just our guest, just because that's the way my brain works as well. But I don't think the Bears are going to go 5-0. I definitely do not think the Bears are going to go 5-0. I have enjoyed watching them play better offensively. I have enjoyed watching Caleb. We're going to talk a little about Caleb next. But we want to get back to your calls at 312-644-6767. Your thoughts, your reaction to the Eberflus firing, and what comes next for your 4-8, cough, cough, Chicago Bears. It's Mike Esposito here at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Yeah, I ended up changing the play because, you know, with the play we had, 13 seconds, any play you have with 13 seconds with no time, or with, well, yeah, timeout, but with, you know, that situation, 13 seconds, make a call and try and get it snapped and take the shot.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's Caleb after the game against the Lions talking about changing the play. That last play, the ill-fated, I guess, attempted Hail Mary, if you want to call that, that ended the game. Caleb was not liking what he was seeing. He changed the play. Should have never come to that. They should have regrouped after the sack. And head coach, former head coach, Matt Eberflus, should have called a timeout. He didn't. And, I mean, he had multiple opportunities to call that timeout. He could have done it right after the sack. That would have given you 30 seconds to run a play, to try to get into field goal range, to tie the game. You would have had plenty of time, even using your last timeout with 30 seconds, a play getting you into field goal range, let's say it takes you 7 or 8, even that seems like a lot to me, plenty of time to spike the ball to kick a field goal. Even if you didn't call it right away, you had the opportunity as you saw things were going completely sideways with like 15 or 18 seconds left. You know what? This is going badly. Caleb doesn't know what he's doing out there. He's confused. He's changing the play. Timeout. Right? At least then, yes, you use your last timeout. You could throw to the sideline. You could do whatever. There are still opportunities to do something as opposed to doing nothing and letting things just happen as they did. And I want to talk about Caleb. Sure, he does have some culpability here. He has gone cold at times. He does have bad halves. He has had bad games. But I think overall, and this is my opinion, I think overall Caleb has been as advertised. I don't know that you're ready to put him in the Hall of Fame yet. Certainly not. But he is certainly, as we just discussed with Adam, I think you could all see the talents there. He's actually at USC today getting his jersey retired. Good old USC number 13, Bears 18, of course, but good old USC number 13. It's USC Notre Dame. And the other part about this that I love is that accompanying Caleb to his jersey retirement at USC is Cole Kmet, his Bears teammate, Notre Dame. I don't know. He's not an alum. I don't think he graduated, but former Notre Damer for the Notre Dame USC game. And Caleb and Cole, teammates, best buddies, just like in Step Brothers, are they best friends? Yeah. Does this mean that they're best friends? I think it does. I think it does mean that Caleb and Cole are best friends. But Cole went out there with him to support his teammate. They got a little side bet going. All good, right? That's fun. That's great. But Caleb, I think, has shown the abilities that we all hoped he would have. And the other part of this, I know, like I said, we have seen things that have not gone well for him too. Keep in mind, he's taken more sacks than any quarterback in the league. Some of those his fault, most of them not his fault. But having an offensive line sure would be helpful, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. And I want to ask you this question because people and fans on Twitter were arguing the fact that, like, well, why didn't Caleb call the timeout? And because he's given the freedom and the reins to be able to change the play on the line if there's something that he doesn't see that doesn't go right, would you put Caleb in that kind of aspect of why didn't he call the timeout? But to me, I feel like that's just too much to ask and expect for your rookie quarterback.
I agree with that. I think as he gets on in years, that's something that, let's put it this way, if that's, and I'm going to pick Mahomes because he's the easiest one. If Mahomes is out there and all that stuff is happening, he will call timeout and he'll be just fine doing it. But, you know, he's also one of the best of all time and a multi-time MVP, et cetera. I think as you go along, and you heard Caleb kind of reference this, right? He knew it was their last timeout. He defers to the coaches. He's a rookie. He's 23. You know, this is his first year in the NFL. He's not there yet. And maybe he does get there. But in this case, that is complete. I mean, it's not like you had 10 seconds and you had to make a snap decision. You had 32 seconds left. 32 seconds. And to the texter asking why he didn't spike the ball, I believe it was third down. That's why he didn't spike the ball.
It was, yeah, it was third down.
If he spikes the ball, then it's fourth and whatever, and he's got a 60-something yard field goal. That's why you didn't spike the ball. But I think, and listen, you could very easily say, well, Caleb could have called a timeout. He could have. That would have been really, I think, above his pay grade at this present time. But it is absolutely, completely part of the normal responsibilities of your head coach. That is your, and maybe, and I don't know if it was Jimmy Johnson in the rant we heard at the beginning of the show, or if it was Dave Wanstead and one of the rants we're going to hear coming up, talk about, listen, people do it different ways, but however you do it, you have a time management person or people or somebody sitting there telling you in your ear, maybe you're not Matt Eberflus in charge of timeouts, but somebody better be. Somebody better be in your ear as soon as he gets sacked at 32 seconds left to say, hey, coach, we might want to take a timeout here, or we might want to call this play as fast as we can, and if it gets down to 20 or whatever, we need to call time. Any type of delegation of that was needed, and instead nothing happened. Literally nothing happened. Let's get back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767 is our number. Former Bears QB Jim Miller joins us at 425. Until then, your calls. Let's get them going. Jake is in Arlington Heights, and he is up first here on The Score. Hey, Jake.
How's it going?
Good.
So I guess the first point I was going to say is the margin for error in general is just, I feel like, way more minimal compared to what it was in the past. Like, every single Sunday, like, you play the Eagles, they're tough. The Ravens are tough. The Lions are tough. Like, every single team is way more evenly matched. And the margin for error is minimal. So mistakes can't necessarily happen. And he was flirting with thin ice before that game, and any one of us in any of our trades, we would have been released as well. And literally, seeing the play, you knew the gentleman was going to be fired the next day. And it's unfortunate, but, and I feel like at other times of the year, Caleb Williams is forced to throw because they're playing from behind. And you can tell the guy can spin the rock, but that's just what they're forced into in offense.
Yeah. Like, Jake, appreciate that call. And the other thing I think, too, and this goes back to Waldron, which I guess goes to Eberflus, Caleb was throwing like crazy because of the offense they were running and because of the changes that Waldron came in and made and because of the plays Waldron was calling. They never established the run. Certainly the first three games of the season, they didn't establish the run. They were lucky to beat Tennessee. They lost a close one at Houston, and then they lost a close one at Indianapolis. You could very easily argue that they could have won or lost any of those games. And this is why when people complain about the Chiefs winning games, like they did again yesterday, and what are they? I guess they're 11-1, right, Tyler?
Correct.
The Chiefs are 11-1. You know why they're 11-1? Because just like Jake just said, the margin of error is slim. The good teams are good. The bad teams are bad. The teams that are well-coached and well-practiced win games, and the teams that are not lose games. And having a Hall of Fame coach and having a Hall of Fame quarterback and having players that execute when you need them to matters. And executing game plans matters. And doing things correctly matters. Managing the clock, for the love of God, matters. It matters especially in these situations because of how slim the margin of error is. And the Bears are bad at all the intangibles. That's why they lose games. They're 4-8. They have more points for than points against. They are 4-8. They're, and granted, it's one more point, but it's 241 points for, 240 points against.
Like, in another perspective too, is look at the wide receiver room compared to the Chiefs wide receiver room. I would say the Bears have more on paper talented wide receiver room, but the Chiefs still find a way to win. And how does that come? How does that come down? And like you said, the coaching.
Yep, 100%. If you put no uniforms or labels and you just put the names in a room and you asked a random football person, all right, wide receiver one or wide receiver room over here is DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze, and you have Cole Kmet in there. And this other wide receiver room is, let's see, Travis Kelce. All right. You have, Worthy was their first round pick. Now you have DeAndre Hopkins, but you have old DeAndre Hopkins, right? And Worthy is a first round pick, but he's a rookie and he's small. I still take that Bears wide receiver room. But you're right. You would still take Mahomes, obviously, but you would almost 1,000,000% take Andy Reid calling your plays and running your offense and running your team, wouldn't you? That was one of those situations when, and I don't remember the year, but it was a while ago, obviously. Reed's been in the Chiefs organization for a long time now. When the Eagles got rid of him, and it was one of those things where they knew he was a good coach. He had taken them to the playoffs a ton. They'd made the Super Bowl. It just never happened for him there. They had a not-so-great last season. They let him go. It was just time. The relationship had run its course. How long did it take the Chiefs to get the old Hunt family plane into Philly and get him to Kansas City? And I'm making a joke of it, but it's the answer is not long. He was hired that week by the Chiefs. If something like that were to happen with, say, Shanahan, the Bears should do that. I don't know that it will. I don't know that the Bears would do that, but they should do that. The Chiefs were smart enough to say, hey, wait a second, this guy that might be a Hall of Fame coach that just kind of had a rough parting of the ways with the Eagles doesn't mean he can't coach. Let's get him in here. He knows what he's doing. Yes, he does. Let's sneak in one more call before we have to take a break. It's Kyle up in Wisconsin on the score. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, great show. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving week and be safe on your travels.
Sure.
I got a couple Bears thoughts, and I got a Bears coaching question for you. First of all, I think Caleb Williams will be a good quarterback. We just got to give him some patience and time, and hopefully the Bears will win another game or two this season. We'll have to see what happens on that end. But as my coaching questions, what are your thoughts on, you mentioned Mike Vrabel, or what about a Bill Belichick or John Gruden or Pete Carroll as Bears head coach? Thanks, and I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Kyle, appreciate that. Here's my thoughts on any of the guys, and I'll put the Belichicks and the Grudens kind of in the same grouping there. I don't think the Bears organizationally, and it sounds weird because Bill Belichick is one of the best coaches of all time. He's also 72. I don't know that Bill Belichick is your answer. John Gruden, I don't think, is your answer for similar reasons, although I don't know that they want to go anywhere near that. I think Vrabel is a different story because Vrabel, as I understand it, that was a power struggle with the GM. It was nothing to do with his track record, but, you know, he's a leader of men. He's all the things we've been talking about that you want in your head coach, but he's also a defensive guy. He's not going to call plays. If you hire Mike Vrabel, which I don't object to, you better have somebody to run the offense, just like you have, and we're talking about the Lions. You have Dan Campbell. You don't want Dan Campbell calling your plays. You want Ben Johnson calling your plays. Now, that has happened to work out beautifully for Detroit, but the Bears would need that setup if you hire Vrabel. Now, if you hire somebody like, and I'll use Thomas Brown because we're going to talk about him next segment. Let's say Thomas Brown leads the Bears to however many wins here in December. The offense looks good. The Bears say, Thomas Brown, you are our head coach. If they keep Thomas Brown as head coach, well, guess what? He's going to call your plays. You hire an offensive coordinator, but he's going to call your plays. Just like Matt Nagy. I'm sorry, Bears fans, to do this to you, but just like Matt Nagy is Andy Reid's offensive coordinator, who really runs the offense in Kansas City? It's not Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy's there to, I don't even know what he's there for, but he's, you know, he helps Patrick Mahomes. He works whatever he works on the offensive room there. But Andy Reid, as we all know, calls the plays. Matt Nagy does not. But if you kept Thomas Brown, or if you hired, let's say, Cliff Kingsbury, who coached Caleb at USC, those are your play callers. Then you need to worry about hiring a defensive coordinator, unless you keep Eric Washington, which maybe you do. I have no idea. They just hired him. But here's the other part of it, and we haven't even touched on this, and we will. Flus called the defense. So we're going to get to see Eric Washington call the defense now, but he's never done that here. Flus was calling the defense. And actually, if you recall, that's how Flus got this job. And that's how Flus saved his job last year, was the defense picked it up. The Bears, I don't want to say got hot, but they, you know, they won. What did they win? 7 of their last 13 games, whatever it was. They played decent at the end of the season, enough for Flus to keep his job. But now you have Eric Washington calling plays, and we'll see how that goes. We'll see how Thomas Brown goes as the interim head coach in 3 weeks. Listen, and I guarantee you this is the case, because if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, I would not have been able to pick Thomas Brown out of a lineup. I knew his name, but I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't know what he did. I didn't know his title. But when you went from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator to interim head coach in, it's 18 days, but let's give him 3 weeks, in 3 weeks. And now listen, the opportunity of your lifetime right now, Thomas Brown, you have 5 weeks as a dress rehearsal to get the Bears head coaching job. How about that? We're going to talk about Thomas Brown. I want your thoughts on Thomas Brown when we come back at 312-644-6767. We're going to hear from Dave Wanstead. He was on the air yesterday here at The Score. He was on fire. We're going to hear from Jim Miller. He's our guest at 425, the former Bears quarterback. We're going to continue to get your reaction. And when we come back, I pulled a piece of tape. Actually, Tyler Buterbaugh did because I asked him to, and Tyler's a good guy, so he did. Sean McVay, the Rams head coach, who knows Thomas Brown well and worked with him, has lots of good things to say about him. We will hear that piece of tape next from Sean McVay when we return. It's Mike Esposito with you until 5, talking Bears here on The Score.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Talking Bears with you here on 670 The Score until 5 o'clock. That is me, Mike Esposito. We want to talk to you at 312-644-6767. We're getting your reaction to the Matt Eberflus firing and what comes next for your Chicago Bears after they lost on Thanksgiving Day to the Lions, their sixth straight loss. I promised you some Sean McVay tape before the break. We are going to get to that. A texter, a 563 texter, pointed this out to me. I had not connected the dots on this, but I want to thank this texter because I just mentioned that when Andy Reid's available, you send the plane and you hire him, right? Because you know this guy is got what it takes. He's an established winning coach. I use that example for Shanahan. This texter points out, he says, Andy Reid was available when the Bears hired Trestman. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't remember that. So I went and looked. Sure enough, Andy Reid hired by the Chiefs January 4th, 2013, immediately after the season ended. Reid was a free agent for all of 4 days from when Philadelphia let him go to when the Chiefs hired him. Chiefs hired him to a 5-year contract January 4th, 2013. The Bears, and you'll remember this because you're Bears fans and you remember these things, that was the year they fired Lovie Smith despite the 9-7 record because they didn't make the playoffs. Or was it 10-6? Whatever it was, they missed the playoffs. Lovie had a winning record but missed the playoffs. And Phil Emery came out and fired Lovie. The Bears, Phil Emery then hired your old pal and mine, Mark Trestman, on January 16th, 2013, 12 days after the Chiefs hired Reid. Since then, the Bears have had Mark Trestman, John Fox, Matt Nagy, and Matt Eberflus as their head coaches. The Chiefs have had Andy Reid. And yeah, I get it. There are other circumstances there. There's organizational things. There's GM things. There's Patrick Mahomes, who you also had a chance at, but you took Mitch Trubisky. My point being is that the good organizations and the successful organizations, and I could very easily use Pittsburgh, who have had 3 head coaches in my lifetime, and I am 52. They've had Chuck Knoll, they've had Bill Cowher, and they've had Mike Tomlin. I don't even have to look it up. I remember all of them vividly. You do too. The Pittsburgh Steelers have had 3 head coaches since I was born during the Nixon administration. The Bears have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And I think we know the track record. All of them have losing records. Actually, there are 2 that don't have losing records. Tyler Buterbaugh, I will let you guess who those 2 that don't, no, 3, pardon me, 3 that don't have losing records are. One of them is easy.
Matt Nagy.
Matt Nagy is one that I would have not have put as easy, but go ahead.
Lovie Smith.
Lovie is 2. Winning record. Oh, he has a big mustache. It's not Wani.
Oh, Ditka.
Koch. Koch. Those are your winning Bears coaches in my lifetime.
Well, that one was a kick in the nards.
Yeah. Yes, it was. So that's just what I mean. Listen, and I'm not trying to completely pick on the Bears. There have certainly been circumstances there, but the successful organizations, whether they're businesses or charitable organizations or football teams, there's a reason some are successful and some are not. Before we hit another timeout and get to Dave Wannstedt in our next segment, I wanted to play you this sound. We were talking about Thomas Brown in the last segment. He is the interim head coach. He's the interim offensive coordinator. He's interim. He's Mr. Interim. But he worked with Sean McVay for a while, and they are friendly. And McVay, I know, is extremely well thought of in coaching circles and in football circles. McVay also has lots of good things to say about Thomas Brown.
Well, I know that he's always been a guy that's had incredible command. He's been a great competitor. He kind of demands respect from people that he's around just by the way that he carries himself. Anytime these things come up, and I think even Thomas did a great job of handling it when he got the opportunity to be the OC. He's done a great job, obviously. But it's unique in which the circumstances have come about, but he's going to attack it. I think guys will follow his lead. But in this profession, you know, you just have such an appreciation for how challenging it is, how difficult, how volatile. And I think he's going to do a great job. You know, I know I would imagine if he hasn't already done a press conference, the way that he would, you know, in such a classy way that he would handle it. You know, these aren't necessarily the circumstances that you wanted to occur. I know how much respect he has for Coach Eberflus, but he is a guy that, you guys have heard me talk about him. You know, we got a chance to work together for a few years, but I got a chance to compete against him. And there's just certain people when you watch, you're like, man, they're a little different. In terms of the competitiveness, the spirit, the never say die attitude, and then just his overall presence in general is impressive. You know, like I said, I think the good way to articulate it, he commands respect by the way he handles himself and he gives it back. And so I've always thought he was a guy that would be a head coach at some point. And we'll see, you know, I think you guys will be impressed, not necessarily impressed. I mean, you know how good of a coach he is and good of a leader, and happy for him for the opportunity. You know, it's unfortunate the circumstances at which you're getting that. What I do know about Thomas is there's good processes and procedures in place there. He's always been a guy when he was the assistant head coach here that was so thoughtful about, hey, being totally present in the role that you have while also having an eye on, hey, how would I do this? If the opportunity arose, how would I, whether it's calling plays or how would I be a head coach and different things? And I think one of the things that we've tried to do that, you know, we do take pride in here is you open the doors up so that you can see exactly how we want to handle it. And you're accountable for when there's mistakes on my end. But then you also say, all right, here's some things that have worked out in our favor. Here's the processes and procedures and kind of the, you know, the organizational structure at which we get to these decisions. And then, you know, the handling of game day, I think, is something that, you know, you decide as a head coach, all right, which responsibilities do you want to have? And then, you know, where is that threshold of making sure that you use the surrounding parts around you? And that's always evolving, but I think he'll do a great job with that.
Sean McVay, Rams coach, former boss of Thomas Brown, who's now the Bears interim head coach. And I assume, and unless we hear differently, I think with this will happen Monday, we will get a Thomas Brown head coach press conference. And I'm sure there will be lots of questions and lots of sound. I'm sure we'll have all of that for you right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I love our texters. A few before we had to break that cracked me up. From the 269, that is the Reed Trestman Law of Bears Physics. It's a scary law of physics, if that's a law of physics. But yes, yes, it is. A 630 texter says the Bears don't want to coach with a big personality because of Ditka. Yeah, I don't know if that's true anymore. I don't know that matters. And this, which cracked me up, and I can hear it in the Trestman voice, and I'm sure Tyler can play it in the Trestman voice, but a 773 texter says, I didn't hear that. I heard some of that, but none of what I heard was any of that. So yes, that also is exactly what we had. Instead of Andy Reid, we had the wonderful and talented Mark Trestman. When we return, we're going to hear from Dave Wanstead. He was on yesterday here on The Score. Wani was fired up, and he was firing on all cylinders. Some great audio from Dave Wanstead. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller joins us at 4:25 to talk about this from the quarterback's perspective. And we will get to our callers, Jay, Doug, everyone else on hold. Please stick around if you'd like to chat about what's going on and your feelings on this for the Bears and what goes forward for the Bears. Please give us a call, 312-644-6767. You've got one more hour with me. Mike Esposito right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.